The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
God, we thank you for the power that is in that name. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, for loving us, for sending your Son to die on a cross for our sins so that we can have a relationship with you. God, we just thank you for all that. And God, we pray now that as we look at your word, you would help us to walk away differently because of what your word has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. It's awesome to get to pray over that many students. Man, before they go to school, I think our world is in a much better place knowing that we've got quite a few lights for Jesus going into their schools this year. So, what an exciting opportunity that is. Thank you so much for being here for it. Again, back to school bash this coming Wednesday night. We'd love to remind you about that. And just so I don't forget until the end, Wednesday nights are the absolute best night of the entire week. From our nursery to our team kid to our student ministry to our adult Bible studies, Wednesday nights are phenomenal. If you're not a part of Wednesday nights, I want to encourage you, make sure you be as best you can prepare or plan to be a part of Wednesday nights, because it is just incredible. And so, if you get a chance, please make sure you're a part of our Wednesday nights in some form or fashion. We would love to have you here. All right, so there's a phrase that is familiar in early life of John. I didn't like this phrase because here's my thing. I know what I'm thinking and other people don't. So that's their problem, right? If you just thought like me, everything would be so much easier. And so in the early part of my life, what I was kind of bad about was details. I could tell you like, hey, this is big idea, but details of like how that's going to happen and different things like that. My wife is looking at me because for the first several years of our marriage, I was in student ministry. When I was in student ministry, we ran our own summer camps. When we ran our own summer camps, I would tell Kelsey, hey, Kelsey, here's the big idea. And she's like, awesome. How are you going to make that happen? I was like, that's details. Don't bother me with details. This is the big idea. This is all you need to know. And she's like, no, the details matter. And she always used to use a phrase, the devil's in the details, because inevitably, that's how things a lot of times get ruined in our life, isn't it? It's the details, the small things that trip us up. And so that phrase, the devil is in the details, is an accurate phrase because there are a lot of times where we get tripped up in our life because of small little details. But I want to encourage you with the passage of scripture this morning and actually show you that God's presence is really in the details and what that means. And so today we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. It says this, David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds. He then said to the whole assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of the people throughout the territories of Israel and also to the priests and the Levites who are with them in the towns and pasture lands to come and join us. Let us bring the ark of the Lord, let us bring the ark of our God back to us. For we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. So David assembled all of Israel from the Shiloh River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath, yep, to bring the ark back to God from Kiriath-Jearim. And David said to all of Israel, and David and all of Israel went to Bala in Judea to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the ark that is called by the name. They moved the ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart. Uzziah and Ahab guided it. And David and all of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs, with harps, with lyres, with trembles, with cymbals and trumpets. They came to the threshing floor at Kittim, Uzziah reached out his hand to steady the ark because the ox had stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzziah, and he struck him down because he had put his hand in the ark. So he died there before the Lord God. It's an interesting passage. Not just the weird names. The weird names kind of get me, but just the passage in general is kind of weird, right? Here, David and all of Israel agrees to do one thing. Hey, listen, we need to move the ark of the God of our God back with us. We need to move the ark back around us. We want God's presence in our life. Seems like a really good thing, right? I mean, if you were to ask somebody like, hey, listen, what's a good, admirable thing to do? Would be, oh, it should be to have God's presence in my life. And so, here they are, getting ready to move God's presence back in amongst them. And some guy reaches up to steady the ark because it's about to fall. He's a fixer. Where are my fixers at? You like to fix problems? We're going to talk about lying next week, y'all. I'm a fixer. Don't come to me with problems, because if you come to me with a problem, my instinct is to fix it. Uzziah is just a fixer, man. The ark's about to fall, so he reaches up to stop it from falling, to fix the problem, and God strikes him dead. What in the world is that about? But see, as I read through it, there's a couple things that just stood out to me as we break down this passage of Scripture. God's presence is more than just having the right people. Man, look around. We've got some cool people here today. I don't know if you know that or not, but you are surrounded by greatness in this room today. Not so much me, but y'all. Like, this is a phenomenal group of people. And this is something I told our students at camp a couple... When did we go to camp? When did y'all go to camp? And I just kind of hung out with you last week or something like that. 2 weeks ago, I said, look around the room, because this assembly may never be the same. This may be the only time in your entire life that this room looks exactly like this. But can I tell you something? God's presence is more than just having the right people in place. When you go back and you look so many times in this scripture, over and over and over again, you see this phrase that lets us know that God's presence is more than just having the right people. It says that each of the officers and the commanders David consulted, he gathered all of Israel, all the territories, the priests and the Levites, the whole assembly agreed, all the people, all of Israel. Over and over and over again, the idea is communicated. Everyone was in agreement that this is a good idea. Hey, can I challenge you with something this morning, church? Just because everyone agrees doesn't mean it's a good idea. Now, wanting and desiring God's presence is not a bad idea. But if we can go back real quick. Sorry, Miles. We can go back one on the slides. Having the right people around you is not what it takes. Sometimes it takes more than just having the right people around you. Because just because you have the right people around you doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do or that God's presence is in it. The priests and the Levites are the right people, but just because you have that didn't mean it was the right thing. God's desire was to be with his people, but just because you had God's desire to be with them and their desire to be with God doesn't mean that that was exactly the way things should go. The other thing that is interesting that stood out to me about this passage as I read through it is in verse number 3, it says, for they didn't inquire of this during the reign of Saul. Y'all ever gotten to the point in your life where you really just don't desire God's presence anymore? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, like, all of a sudden life just kind of goes good on its own. And you don't really think about it. God's presence. I had this convicting moment last night. I was on the phone with my parents and they were talking. They said, oh, tomorrow's a big day. And I was like, no, tomorrow's just Sunday. And I said, well, yeah, but it's Sunday. And I was like, no, I mean, from like the past couple weeks, we had, you know, baptism last week and it was remarkable. And then the week before that, we were getting ready to go to summer camp. And so they were big Sundays. They were busy Sundays. And so today it was just kind of like, just Sunday. And it convicted me that, man, it's not just Sunday. You get to go with the whole assembly into God's presence. to do something remarkable, to worship, to praise, to give Him honor, to give Him glory, to lift His name up, to look at your life and to reflect on Him during this time. Like, this is a big deal. But a lot of times I think a lot of us don't necessarily inquire or look for God's presence in our life because things just are going along so smoothly. And the nation of Israel, the entire time during the reign of Saul, never wondered about the presence of God. Which is a big deal, as we're going to see later on. Another thing that happens in this passage is just because you have the right people, and just because God's presence requires more than just enthusiasm. When you look and you read here, God's presence requires way more than just enthusiasm. It's not enough to just be excited. Man, our church has been so blessed to have Rocky come and in the meantime, Michael and Becky to lead us in worship because they bring excitement to our worship service. Our worship services are exciting. Having a choir is exciting. All these different things. But there's so much more than just excitement. When you look and you see the phrase that is used here in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, it says, "And David called on all of David and all Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs and with harps, with lyres and trembles, with cymbals and trumpets." Everything God was doing, these people were excited about. And actually, when they actually are able to move the ark over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, back into the house, this is where David dances before God with all his might. And he's applauded for that because it's this unrestrained worship. Man, and that's good. Excitement is good and enthusiasm is good. Zeal in your Christian life is good and it's important. But it takes more than just zeal and excitement to have God's presence in your life. Now, the opposite's very true. Listen, I'm a firm believer that our Christian life should be exciting. Y'all ever been to... Alright, we're going to have lots of... You're going to get to know your pastor really well this morning. As a kid, I was terrified when I thought about heaven. Because they told me heaven was a burial, like a church service that lasted forever. I was like, no, I don't want to go there. That sounds terrible. But then I looked at the church services I sat in and I was like, yeah, this is super boring. And if this is what I had to do forever, I wouldn't want to go to heaven. But then I've sat in church services, men were like, it's not exciting. And the God's presence isn't there because you're just looking at what time it is and you're ready to go eat La Herradura and it's getting close and this guy needs to stop talking or he needs to stop singing because it's time. But listen, can I tell you that God's presence, just because something's exciting doesn't mean God's presence isn't it. But if God's presence is something, it's exciting. So it takes more than just having excitement, and it takes more than just the newest things. God's presence isn't just in having the newest things. When you look and you read in verse number 7, it says they moved the ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart. Y'all ever think that just because something's new and it's exciting, it's good? Listen, and I realized as I was getting ready for this week, I was like, I am jinxing myself as a pastor. Because I think in the next couple months and weeks and years, there's going to be some new things that we're going to try to do here that people will call us crazy for. And it's going to be new and it's going to be exciting and it's going to be different and all these different things. But I also have to tell you, just because something is new and exciting doesn't mean that God's presence is in it. And you say, well, John, that makes zero sense. Why are you going to tell us to do something new and exciting? And again, there's nothing wrong with new things. Here's the problem. And all the newness and all the excitement and all the different having the right people together and the giant assembly that was there, they did one thing wrong. They forgot God's instructions. See, God was very clear when He told them how to move the Ark of the Covenant. When they were to move the Ark of the Covenant, they were to have poles that they were supposed to put in there. And these poles were supposed to be carried by priests and Levites, and nobody else was supposed to touch it except for the priests and the Levites. And they were only supposed to touch the poles. They weren't actually supposed to touch the Ark ever. But seeing all the excitement and all the newness and all the enthusiasm and having all the right people, David say, listen, we can move God's presence back in with us, and it doesn't matter about what God said. Church, be careful. If you think you found God's presence apart from what God says, you're dead wrong. Our disobedience produces anger. Sorry, let me step back for a second. Their desires for God's presence wasn't wrong. Who they had wasn't wrong. Their excitement and their zeal wasn't wrong. But their plans to regain God's presence in their lives, they forgot what He had told them. It was their plans, not God's plans. See, when you look back and you see David does all this, and he consults the right people, he does the right thing, he has everything, everyone's in agreement with him, and he's got this idea that God's presence needs to be in Jerusalem, and absolutely we need God's presence in our life, but it was all about his plans of how to do it. Instead of looking back at what they knew they were supposed to do. When you go on and you keep reading in the passage in chapter 13, you pick up in verse 11, it says this: after Uzziah had died, then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzziah. To this day, the place is called Perez Uzziah, which means the Lord's anger burned against Perez or Uzziah. David was afraid of God that day and asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of God to me?" He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark remained with the family of Obed-Edom in the house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. See, the first part of this is this: God's anger, or sorry, not God's anger, our disobedience produces anger. Y'all ever do something you know you're not supposed to do? Y'all ever sin? Again, I know you didn't, because you guys are all great Christian people and wonderful. Man, but it's so many times, it's funny, I'll catch myself and I'll sin. I'll have an attitude, I'll have a thought, I'll have something, I'll do something that I know I shouldn't do. And you know what happens after that? I'm angry at everybody. Man, I'm angry with the dog. I'm angry with the neighbor's dog. I'm angry with the sunshine. I'm angry with the rain. I'm angry with every kid. I'm angry with my wife. And really what it is I'm actually angry at myself because I messed up, because I was disobedient. But man, everybody gets the wrath of it. It's funny when you read that passage again. Another translation says that David was angry at God because God was just. Can you imagine being angry with God? Because God is, maybe I do that sometimes in my life. And our disobedience, it brings anger into our life and it produces anger in our life. But it's funny, at the same time, God's presence brings blessings. When you read back and you go to the end of that passage, it talks about how Obed in Edom's house was blessed for 3 months. Everything he had was blessed for 3 months because the presence of God was there with him. This morning, I don't know where you are. Maybe you're on the end of things where you're receiving more anger. Everything in life just makes you angry. And you can't figure it out. You can't understand why. You can't find peace. You can't find fulfillment. You can't find joy. You can't find happiness. All you can find is disobedience. I'm sorry, all you can find is anger. Can I ask you a question? How is your obedience to God? The flip side of that is this, is God's presence brings blessings. Y'all ever just experience God's blessings for absolutely no reason? Like you can't make sense of it, it doesn't make any sense, but then all of a sudden you start to look at the things you've done in your life and all that has been to cultivate God's blessings or God's presence in your life. God's presence isn't just here. God's presence goes with us everywhere we are as a follower of Christ. But it's interesting that God's presence is so unique and so specific that we try to do everything we can to keep it with us. By the way, if you ever wonder why I believe the Bible to be so true, it's because the Bible continues to echo itself over and over and over again. If you look at that passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and you read verse number 12, isn't it so cool that the Gospels echoed all the way back in David's day? Look at what he says in verse 12. David says, it says, David was afraid of God that day and asked, how can I ever bring the ark of God to me? You ever get tired of trying to earn your salvation? Really, what you want is you're created to desire God's presence in your life. You're created to have God's presence in your life. And so you do everything you can to get that blessing, to get that peace, to get God's presence in your life. And you work and you work and you work so hard to try and bring God's presence to you. But you can't ever do it, because it was never meant for you to do. It's something that only Jesus could do through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, his life, and his finished work of the cross. Now you and I have the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives in us constantly and never leaves us. The same thing that brings death in anger and disobedience brings life and blessing in obedience. Luckily for us, the story doesn't stop there. Yes, it stays there for 3 months, but then David learns his lesson. I say David learns his lessons because you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 14, you see verse number 16, it says this: David did just as God commanded him, and they defeated the army of the Philistines at Gibeon as far as Jezer. This is just a small little passage of scripture, but here's what happens. Earlier, Saul, remember during Saul's reign, the nation of Israel didn't seek God at all. They didn't seek God's presence. They weren't worried about it whatsoever at all, because things were going good, they thought. Saul's fatal flaw, Saul's one mistake that that cost him God's presence in his life was this: he didn't consult God before battle. Instead, he consulted a medium. He consulted a sorceress and took her word and made the sacrifice for himself and disobeyed what God had told him specifically to do. David learned from it. And so even though David has just won some great victories, if you go in 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and you look around, David's won some great victories. He still consults God. And when God says, hey, listen, David, don't go into battle the way they think you're going to go into battle, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go around behind him. David does just as God told him to do. You want to know why the presence of God is missing in your life? It might be because you're not doing just what God told you to do. You're doing it. You're doing things around it. You're tiptoeing on the line, but you're still disobedient in these small little ways. You go over in chapter 15, and the story continues in chapter 15, where now they are actually moving the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem. After David had constructed the building for himself in the city of David, he prepared the place of the Ark of God and pitched a tent for it. David said, no one but the Levites may carry the Ark of God, because the Lord has chosen them to carry the Ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever. David assembled all of Israel and Jerusalem to bring the Ark of the Lord to the place he had prepared for it. He called together all the descendants of Aaron and Levi. Almost as if David has learned his lesson. Go back and look, and he's very specific. He's very adamant. He said, listen, no one is to carry the Ark except these guys. Because this is what God told us a long time ago when he gave us the Ark. And it's still true today. God's presence is found in obedience in the smallest of things. You want to know why your life is in disarray, why it's complicated, why there's anger, why there's confusion, why nothing seems to make any sense whatsoever at all. This morning, let me ask you, how's your obedience? Are you obedient in the small things? Are you obedient in just the big things? See, when I read back over the story, it's such a confusing story, and at times it doesn't make sense, and I kind of get lost in it, and I can't figure it out except for this. God's presence is in the details. The real small little things that nobody else probably paid attention to, God's presence is in those things. God's presence is more than just having the right people around you. It's having the right people around you who will tell you the things that you need to hear when no one else wants to hear it. You know, when you go back and you look at this, and you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 13, all these people, all of Israel, all the priests, all the Levites, everyone was together. Everyone was in agreement to do this. Nobody said, hey, David, about this cart idea. God told us we're not supposed to move this except with poles. Hey, God, listen, I know these guys they've been around the ark for a while, but God is specifically instructed only the priests and the Levites to carry this. David, I'm all for bringing God's presence back to us, but is this the right way to do it? It's interesting. Nobody said that. All of David's advisors, all the council, all the wisdom, all the people David had around him, no one was willing to say, hey, listen, David, we don't know about this. In your life, again, I don't know where you are, but let me just challenge you with this. We should follow what God tells us to do, but in order to do that, we have to know what God tells us to do. If you have no idea what God's telling you to do, when's the last time you studied this? Not read it, not looked at it, not picked it up. When's the last time you poured into this? Said, I'm not going anywhere, God, until I get answers. I need to see in this. Again, not so shameless, but Wednesday nights. You know why I love Wednesday nights? You know why I tell you Wednesday nights is the best night of the week? Because it's God's people coming together, looking at God's word, saying, hey, God, speak to me through this. Because in there, we're comfortable enough to call each other out and say, hey, listen, I don't think that's what that means. Hey, listen, I know you think that God's in this move. I think that God's in this thing that you're doing. I know you think that. But let me go back and show you what God's word really says. If you don't have a group of people surrounding you in your life that tell you that, you're missing out, man. You're missing a lot of things, and you're never really going to understand exactly what God's telling you to do, and therefore you're always going to struggle with details of disobedience. This morning, maybe you've come here because it's Sunday. That's it. Maybe you weren't really coming here seeking God's presence in your life. Maybe you were just coming here because this is what you have to do, what you're supposed to do. Because your husband, because your wife, because your grandma, because somebody made you. Because we were going to pray over your backpacks, and so you felt compelled to be here. God's desire for you when you came here, though, was that you leave here filled with His presence. That you take His presence with you wherever you go. To your jobs, to your work, to your school, to your houses, to your families. And you say, awesome, John, that's so cool, great idea, wonderful. How do I do it? The details of obedience. Don't tell me you're seeking after God when you're willfully being disobedient. When you're willing to choose, hey, this is more fun, this is more exciting, this is more flashy and new, then this is what God's word says. When you're more concerned with being applicable, hip, or cool with what God's word says. If you're willfully being disobedient to what this says, as lovingly as I can tell you this, you don't care about God's presence in your life. You're willing to sacrifice God's presence in your life for your comfort, for your convenience, or for your ease. I told you you're going to learn more about your preacher this morning than you probably care to. As much as this is for you, I got to tell you this was for me. I pray hours and days and weeks and months for God's presence in my life. As a pastor, if I don't have God's presence in my life, there's a phrase I can't use because it's not appropriate for church, but I'm in trouble. We'll just say that. But as I thought about it, If all I'm doing is praying for it, if all I'm doing is seeking it, but I'm still willfully living in disobedience in areas and parts of my life, I'm never going to get it. I'm going to get portions of it. I'm going to get glimpses of it. I'm going to figure it out on my way and my terms, and I'll get to experience this much around it, but I'll miss the actual true presence of God in my life. This morning, again, I don't know where you are. Maybe you're walking fully in God's presence, full obedience. Man, I'm so excited for you, and I hope that you continue in it. This morning, maybe your life is chaos. You're angry. You just don't feel God's presence in anything you do. When Rocky comes this morning and leads us this last hymn, it's called Worship and Response. If everything is great with you and God, and you guys are just peachy keen, jelly bean, living life to the fullest for Him, then you worship God during this like you've never worshiped Him before, and thank Him for His presence in your life. If this morning, if you're walking a little bit more on the disobedient side, you can't figure out why things just don't go the way you want them to, and you just seem to be frustrated with life in general, this is your chance to respond and say, God, listen, show me the areas of my life where I'm disobedient. Show me where I've missed the mark. Forgive me of it and draw me to you. God, we thank you for today. Father, I thank you for the chance and the opportunity, the time just to come and be able to worship you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just speak through your word to us today. God, I pray that you would help us to follow you in full obedience. To be people who do just as God says. Lord, for the individual who's here this morning who's wavering, Lord, in obedience in their life, they're frustrated, they're angry, they can't get anything to work the way they want them to. God, there's that seed of disobedience that's rooted somewhere deep down inside. And Father, maybe only you and them know about it and no one else is aware of it. This morning, God, I pray that they would do business with you during this time. Father, that they would confess that disobedience, that they would repent from it, and that, Lord, through the power and the strength of your Holy Spirit, they would leave that disobedience and they would never look back again. God, I pray that as we leave this place filled with your presence, you would use that to impact our world that we live in for your good and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.